God's face is shining on his children. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to welcome all of our visitors today. My name is Rob Greenslade. I'm the pastor here, and I occasionally suffer with a thing called Parkinson's disease, so I hope my shaking doesn't distract you too much today. So if you'll just not look at my shaky hand, that'd be great. And I also want to make an apology ahead of time. It seems that every time I preach on giving, which happens about once a year, then there are visitors here, and so they walk out saying, all they want is my money, right? So I didn't plan it this way, but apparently that's the way it's going to go. And so we're going to be talking about giving, not just giving of money, but giving of yourself. Giving of yourself in serving, giving of yourself in using your talents to serve the Lord. So everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. I hope so, because that's all I got today. So our vision statement of our church goes something like this. We are making disciples by proclaiming Christ, and we are being disciples by growing in Christ. It's all about being a disciple of Jesus, not just a a pew warmer, but someone who really is actively following the Lord Jesus Christ, who's seeking to please him, seeking to serve him, seeking to make their life line up with the Word of God. So that's our vision statement. We're making disciples by proclaiming Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the best. Amen. We are proclaiming the risen Lord, the one who died for us, was buried, and rose again. We proclaim Christ to make disciples, and then we grow in Christ to be a disciple, to grow in our faith. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, one who learns more about Jesus. A disciple is a follower, one who follows after the Lord. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me, right? So I pray that everyone here will desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what is the goal of discipleship? The goal is to become more like Jesus. It says in Luke 6:40, that when a disciple is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. He'll be like his master. So we're seeking to look more and more like Jesus, the attitude of Christ, the power of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the servanthood of Christ, the words of Christ coming forth from our mouth, right? That's what we're here for. That's why we gather on Sunday, so we can become more like Jesus. So we've already seen that a disciple is a student of the Word of God. The Bible is our guide. The Bible is the word of truth to us. The Bible is our spiritual food that feeds and nourishes us. And then we've seen that a disciple is a person of prayer. You know, Jesus saves people so that he can have relationship with them. He didn't give us religion. He gave us a relationship with him. And so when you're not praying, you're not entering into that beautiful relationship with him. Prayer and the Word of God are our two main ways of communicating with God and of God communicating with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today, we're going to focus on another trait of a disciple of Jesus. Today we'll focus on the trait of giving. So what is the best known verse in the Bible, probably the most quoted verse in the New Testament? What would you think? What was that, my love? John 3:16, yeah, sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What a gift, eh? So it says that God loved the world. Aren't you glad that God loves you? Man, what great love he has. He loved us so much that he gave his only Son. What a gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So God so loved that he gave. So I'm starting out by saying love gives. Love is other people oriented. Love is not all about me, me, me. It's all about you, you, you. It's all about my brothers and sisters. And so if I love you, I give to you. I might give of my time. I might give of my talents. I might give prayer for you. I might give a sermon occasionally. So love gives. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see that? Jesus loved us and gave himself. Love gives. So Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus was the givingest person who ever lived, right? The givingest man. He gave continually to his disciples, to the people who followed him. He was he gave and he gave and he gave, and he ultimately gave his life on the cross. Amen? Amen. How are we doing so far? Are you following? So his disciples should follow him in being givers. If we're going to be more like Jesus, we're going to have to be givers. Jesus was a man of the Word of God. He was a man of prayer, and he was the ultimate giver. So we should be people of the Word of God, people of prayer, and people who give. I don't think there should be such a thing as a stingy Christian. I think that's an oxymoron. Stingy and Christian don't go together. The word is generous. We should be reflecting the generosity of Jesus. Amen? So we're going to look at a passage that focuses primarily on the giving of our treasure, our financial giving. But the principles on this passage apply to the giving of your time and your talents as well. So we're going to be looking at a scripture in 2 Corinthians in just a minute. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he traveled and planted churches and led people to Christ and raised up churches all around the Roman Empire, he made the giving of finances a part of his ministry. Because the church in Jerusalem, which was kind of like the mama church, that's where the gospel was first preached, that's where the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Jerusalem church was poor, impoverished. They were under persecution and they didn't have many resources at all. So Paul, when he planted churches, he also asked that people would give so he could take financial help back to the Jerusalem church. The church in the Greek city of Corinth apparently pledged a generous amount to go to the mama church in Jerusalem. But it seems that they didn't follow through, and it seems that they had good intentions to give to the Jerusalem church, but for some reason they didn't follow through. Have you ever done that? Had good intentions about doing something but didn't do it? Well, that's apparently what happened with the church in Corinth. They were planning to send somebody from their church with a large offering for the Jerusalem church, but they never did it. And this had been almost a year before Paul wrote them this letter we're going to read. So Paul, writing from northern Greece, sent a letter to southern Greece, that's where Corinth was, and he reminded them, he gently reminded them of their pledge to give to the Jerusalem church. And in the process of reminding them, he gives us some great teaching on giving. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 9. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we'll take a look at the scripture. Lord, we thank you that you are such a giving, giving God. You give us life. You give us breath. You give us all things. Everything we have, we've received from your generous hand. And especially, you give us eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that as we look at these scriptures, we will search our hearts and just come to you with an attitude that says, I want to be a giver, Lord. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my finances to you. I want to give my gifts to you. And I want to give my time to you. I want you to be Lord over every area of my life. So, Lord, I just pray that you would touch us today and encourage us and cause us to be rejoicing in the privilege of giving. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in 2 Corinthians 9. And I think I'm going to start with verse 5, Vicki, just to throw a little curveball at you. All right, thank you. All right, let me read verse 5. So remember, he'd reminded them of their promise to give, and now he's telling them what he's going to do to help them keep their promise. This is kind of comical in a way. He's trying to be as gentle as he can, but he's saying, you guys, come on. You said you were going to give, so give. And so he's going to explain what he's going to do. Therefore, because you made this promise, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to be coming from the north to visit you guys, but I'm sending some of the brothers that work with me, I'm sending them first so they can get the offering together so it's ready to be given when I come. Because if they waited till Paul came, it would look like the only reason he came was to browbeat them into giving. So Paul's saying, I don't want this to look like it's a grudging obligation. I want this to be a matter of generosity. So he's sending the other guys down so that they can get the offering together. Does that make sense? You following? Okay. So he's coming to visit to encourage them and to teach them. He's not coming to visit to try to squeeze the offering out of them. And so he's sending his fellow helpers ahead of him to prepare the offering. And he wants the gift to be generously given, not an obligation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Paul is going to be visiting them, and the other guys are going to get the offering ready. Now verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He's likening giving to planting seed. You give generously, you sow seed generously, and you get a big harvest, right? If you give generously, you'll get a big harvest. What's that harvest going to look like? It doesn't mean that God's going to make you rich. There are those that teach that it's God's will that you be wealthy. Have you ever heard any of that kind of teaching? Yeah, it's God's will that you be wealthy, so give a whole bunch of money to my ministry, and God will make you wealthy. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. You give generously, and God will give generously back to you, but he does it in a lot of different ways, right? There's a problem with thinking God wants you wealthy. Jesus was a poor man. He didn't even have a place to lay down his head. If anyone should have been wealthy, it should have been the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He was poor. The Apostle Paul, was he wealthy? Nope. He died penniless, giving his life for Jesus Christ, right? And then, well, there's numerous examples. God's greatest followers have never been rich, but they've always been rich in giving. So here's what we need to understand. The rewards we reap don't always come in this life. There is an eternity, and God promises to reward us in eternity. Remember, Jesus told the rich young ruler, I want you to sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me, and you will have treasure where? In heaven. There's a great harvest awaiting us in heaven if we give now. Of course, today, in this life, God promises to take care of us, and we get to reap some of the harvest in this life, but the biggest harvest is going to be in eternity. Amen? Amen. So God will give back to the person who gives bountifully. It may be financially. It may be some other way, like making your appliances last way longer than they should. You know, there's lots of ways that God can give back to you. So Paul says, don't give sparingly, give bountifully. Now verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that a great line? God has a special love for people who give cheerfully. And I think you're probably aware of the fact that that Greek word that we translate cheerful is the word we get hilarious from. God loves a hilarious giver. Isn't that cool? God loves people who give with joy and exuberance and happiness and just thrilled with the privilege of being able to give. Are you that kind of giver? Or are you one who says, well, I suppose I should put 10 bucks in the offering plate or something like that. No, God wants us to be cheerful givers. It tells me that God is a cheerful giver. He delights in giving. He delights in giving to his children, right? So, be a cheerful giver. And not just, again, this is not just talking about money. This is talking about giving of your time, giving of your home. Dan and Lori give their home every week for a Bible study. They open their home. That's kind of a hassle, you know? You have to make sure your house is clean and get some goodies together and stuff. And well, I suppose I have to. Is that the attitude you have, Lord? No, they love it. They love giving of their home. They love sharing what they have. So this is talking about everything we can give. Money, talents, time, resources. Amen? Amen. So give generously and cheerfully. And God loves a hilarious giver. And God, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance in every good work. He's saying God is going to give back to you. In other words, when you give, you're not going to be impoverished by your giving. God is going to supply your needs and give more so that you can keep giving. It's like you're a channel of God's blessing. You give, God gives to you. You give, God gives to you, right? So he, if we give generously and cheerfully, God will make all grace, that's everything, all of our needs, all of our wants, well, not all of our wants, but all of our needs, he gives by his grace, and they abound towards us so that we have sufficient for ourselves and we can give to others. Make sense? How's everybody doing? How am I doing? Am I doing okay? Okay, all right. I got to keep short accounts, make sure I'm doing okay. So he is generous toward you so that you have sufficient supply in all your needs and so that you can have an abundant supply for more good works, doing more good works with your giving. That's great. God is so generous, so kind, so giving. All right, verse 9. As it is written, now Paul draws from the Old Testament. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So our great and generous God, who supplies all of our need, will multiply the seed that you have sown, that's your generous gift, and cause you to be more fruitful. Wait a minute. Am I reading the... Sorry, I got a verse ahead of myself. He quotes Psalm 112, verse 9, which tells of the qualities of righteous people. And one of those qualities is he disperses abroad. He gives. He gives to the poor. He gives of his resources. And he's generous in this life. And in the next life, he enjoys the fruit of a righteous life throughout all eternity. Now, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There it is. He's going to, if you're a sower of seed, if you're a sower of good deeds, a sower of giving, if you're giving, God's going to supply all you need, your bread, your needs. He's going to supply and multiply the seed you've sown. and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Wow. So you see, when you give, you're being kind of selfish. You're knowing that God's going to give back to you, right? I'm sorry, that's probably not appropriate to say. It's like when Paul writes to husbands and he says, husband, love your wives. He who loves his wife loves himself. In other words, you're going to be doing really good for yourself if you love your wife. Well, you're going to be doing really good for yourself if you give, because God's going to give to you. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. I think I got out of that one alive. All right. So verse 11 says, while you are enriched in everything for your liberality, that means your generosity, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What happened when Paul brought all this great offering from the churches to Jerusalem? Do you think the Jerusalem church was thankful? You bet they were thankful. And we're going to see all kinds of great results from giving. One is, people are thankful when they're given to. So God will enrich you. In other words, he's gonna provide all your needs for all your generosity, all your generous giving. And it's going to result in thanksgiving to God. Amen? All right, we're going to work our way through this. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. There it is. It results in thanksgiving. So Paul was collecting the offering from all the churches, knowing that the Jerusalem church was going to be so grateful for their generosity. Okay. Now verse 13. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing with them and all men. So he says the proof of this ministry. In other words, you made the promise. Now when you give, you prove that you really meant what you said. You've given, and they received, and they glorify God. What's our main purpose in life? It's to glorify God, right? And to enjoy him forever. So the fact that you've given is going to result in thanksgiving to God. And it really shows that you're a person of your word. You pledged the money, now you're going to give it. Okay. So verse 14, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace that is in you. In other words, they are going to receive your offering. They're going to be thankful. They're going to glorify God, and they're going to pray for you. You know, for example, when you give to missions, there are needy missionaries all over the world. When you give to missions, those missionaries are so thankful and so grateful that you are a partner with them in the gospel. And so they are thankful, they glorify God, and they pray for you. Missionaries need us to pray for them, but do you know that missionaries pray for those who support them? It's a great, great privilege and a great blessing that they share by praying for you. Because of the exceeding grace of God in you, in other words, because of your generosity, they pray for you. Now, verse 15 is so cool. Paul finishes his teaching on giving with a beautiful response to God's grace, which brings us back to John 3:16. Verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul spent all this time encouraging them to give, and then he closes by saying, you know what? God has given us the ultimate gift. It's so big, it's so beautiful, it's so powerful, it's so fulfilling that it's indescribable. God gives eternal life and all things to generous givers. Amen? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. This takes us back to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. That's the indescribable gift. He gave Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. Amen? All right. So I just want to kind of wrap this up with a look at these things that we just touched on that are a result of our giving. They're the fruit of giving. So if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, I think I had one. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place where you can fill in the blanks. I don't usually do fill in the blanks, but today I want to do that just so you get the power of giving. How many here love to give? That's a loaded question. I hope everyone here loves to give. If you're a disciple of Jesus, Jesus who loves to give, you should love to give. And here's some of the great benefits of giving. In verse 12, it says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints. Let's stop there. Giving meets needs. That's the fill-in. Someone has a need, and you give to them. You're meeting their needs. That's a wonderful thing. That in itself is all we should is enough to make giving worthwhile, right? You're helping someone. You're meeting their needs. So giving meets needs. It not only supplies the needs of the saints, this is verse 12, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. It fosters or it encourages thanksgiving. So giving meets needs, and giving encourages thanksgiving. God tells us to be thankful in all things, right? So when you give to a brother or sister, or you give to a missionary, you give your time to help somebody with a project, you're encouraging that person to give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Then it says, verse 13, I'll read verse 13 and I'll go to verse 14. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. This isn't one of your fill-ins, but you ought to put giving gives glory to God. That's like the most important one that we have. Giving gives glory to God. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you. When you give to a brother or sister, you know what? Chances are real good they're going to pray for you. Don't you want people praying for you? Then give. Give. It fosters or it ignites prayer. So giving meets needs, encourages thanksgiving, and ignites prayer. And then look at this. When Paul brought this offering to the Jerusalem church, they were so moved and so thankful that they longed for the Gentile saints. This was big stuff. The Jerusalem church, which was primarily Jewish, They had been raised as Jews to despise Gentiles. But Paul went and planted churches among the Gentiles, and they gave back to the Jerusalem church. And so the Jerusalem church fell in love with Gentiles. Instead of hating them and despising them, they saw the grace of God in these Gentile churches when Paul came in their midst and said, "Hey, I've got a gift from the Gentile churches in Greece. You know those dogs that you used to hate when you were before you were saved? Well, they've become believers in Christ, and they are so excited about their faith, they want to give to you." And the Jerusalem church longed for them. They, in their heart, they found a new love for the saints in Greece. So, giving fosters fellowship. I don't know if you've ever done a work project with another believer. There's a special fellowship when you work together, when you give of your time to help somebody. So, giving of yourself fosters fellowship. And lastly, thanks be to God for the indescribable gift. That's verse 15. Giving reflects the generosity. It reflects God's indescribable gift. Giving reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It reflects God's indescribable gift. So you are acting like Jesus when you give. And that's what the goal of discipleship is, to make us more like Christ. Amen? Amen. So a disciple of Jesus is a giver. He's a student of the Word, one who prays, and one who gives. Oh, at least one person left. No, just teasing. We have been given so much. Jesus said to his disciples, "Freely you have received, so freely give." We've received so much from the Lord, so we give. It's been said you can't outgive God. If you're a giver, God's going to give to you and supply so you can keep on giving. So a disciple of Jesus is a giver. So I believe that God has specific areas of giving for each of his children. He has specific areas where he wants you to give of your treasure. He has specific areas of giving by giving your talents, your abilities, and he has specific areas where he wants you to give your time. So for each of his children, he has specific areas of giving, and he wants to show each one where they are to give in their time, their treasure, and their talent. But there's one thing each of us must first give before we can set out to give in other areas. There's one thing we must first give to the Lord before we give in other areas. We must first give ourselves. The first thing we give as a giver, as a disciple of Jesus, we give ourselves. Amen? Let me just take you back a little bit. Paul was speaking again of the giving of the churches. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, he was talking about the generosity of the northern Greek churches. And he said, "Moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia," that's the northern churches, "that in a trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." He's saying they were poor. They were poor financially, but because they were so joyful about their life in Christ, they gave. They gave sacrificially. They gave generously. "For I bear witness," he says in verse 3, "that according to their ability," yes, and beyond their ability, "they were freely willing and imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints." So these northern churches said, "Paul, please, we want to give. We don't have much money, but we're giving what we have." And they ended up giving generously to the Jerusalem church. But then Paul says, "And not only as we had hoped," they gave not only as we had hoped, "but they first gave themselves to the Lord." Before they give anything else, they gave themselves to the Lord. "And then to us," he says, "by the will of God." So this morning, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be a giver, if you're excited about the privilege and the joy of giving of yourself, the first thing you need to do is surrender yourself to the Lord. Amen. It says in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord." When we give ourselves to the Lord, then he can say, "Ah, okay, now I'm going to show you other areas where you can give." So this morning, I hope your heart is saying, "I want to be a giver, and I want to give where God wants me to give. I want him to show me those areas where he wants me to give. And so I'm going to lay my life down before him and say, Lord, I belong to you. Body and soul, mind and spirit, everything I am, I'm giving to you. And I trust that you'll show me where I can be most effective in my giving." So I hope that touches your heart today. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of surrender so that God will receive each one of us as a gift. Make yourself a gift to God. Amen? Give to the Lord yourself, and then he will use you as a giver of gifts to others. So let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your great love and grace. I thank you for each person here, Lord. You know each of our hearts. You know the desires of our heart. You know everything about us, both good and bad. And you know how you want us to give. So, Lord, we surrender. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender everything we have and everything we are to you. And we ask you, Lord, to use us in the grace of giving. Use us, Lord, to be an encouragement to others. Use us to spread your gospel by our giving. I thank you for this day, and I pray that as we partake of communion, that we will continue to surrender our life to you. Lord, when we partake of communion, We are showing that you gave it all. You gave your body and your blood. And so we, Lord, want to give ourselves back to you. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.